Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me this morning in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
I was trying to see if we can get something out on our Facebook this morning. I couldn't type fast enough, and it came. Today we're looking forward to talking to you. We have so many things we want to inform you about. Tune in for the first hour of VFN Radio. Morning, morning, morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Good morning, good morning. You are listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Hello, hello.
Oh, my goodness. Good morning, good morning. We have so much news for you, but first we want to be able to talk about, you know, what took place at the theater last night in Aurora, Colorado. As the reports came in, at midnight last night, there was a shooting. They were playing a Batman movie, and you can see this on the VFN TV blog. And it was just tragic. Somebody walked into the theater and pulled a gun and shot and killed 12 people. Mm-hmm. And there's like 48 wounded or something of that nature. They're still, you know, counting mm-hmm. it out. It was a man about 24 years old that had went into the theater, and it was packed. There was some sort of movie playing for Batman at midnight last night, and I guess it's around between midnight and 1 in the morning. You can see videos of this at the VFN TV blog. This is a tragedy. It's horrific. I'm a 24-year-old man walking into a crowded movie theater with 4 guns on this person, and it was so surreal. You know, the reports are saying that there was a violent scene in the movie, and they mm-hmm. couldn't tell whether it was actually the movie shooting that was going on or whether it was actual shooting going on. Mm-hmm. And they threw tear gas in there. We need to lift up the people of Aurora, Colorado. And right now they're in the hospital. There's like a 3-month-old child that's been shot. Mm. There's been just tragedy taking place in Aurora, Colorado. You can find out more details on the VFN TV blog. Go to VFNTV.com to see it. But, you know, we just want to lift up this morning as we get started on VFN Radio, the families and the city of Aurora. We have a church there. VFN Colorado is there. And Pastor Brett and Sharon Holderbaum have the church there. And we just want to just join our faith this morning in lifting up Aurora, California, and how the church is to respond to what's going on. Father God, we just ask you, Lord, that you would comfort the people of Aurora, Lord, that you would be with those who are in the hospital that have been shot and wounded and are weighing in the balances of their life. Father God, that you would give them life and that they would live and not die, and that they would know you, God, that not one would move past this point without knowing you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, in those families that lost 12 of their children, that you would comfort them, God, that you would comfort them and give them the peace, you know, that passes all understanding, Father God. Lord, this is a tragedy, Lord God. This is horrific, Father. And we just ask you right now, Lord, that you would just move on their behalf, God, and move on the City of Lights, Aurora, Colorado, and that your light, the light of your truth and your comfort and your kingdom, Father God, would come in, Lord, and that city would just turn to you, Father God. We just ask you for that, Lord, in Jesus' name. You can find out more about that. We posted some of the information and some videos of a cell phone that captured a video during the incident of what was happening there on the VFNTV blog. Just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. It's just a tragedy, total tragedy. And I guess the only thing that this compares to is more like the Virginia Tech or the Columbine situation. And we just need to be prepared, you know. If you go to the VFNTV blog and you look under the prophetic words and dreams and visions, you know, that if we don't turn our hearts to God, you know, if a void is there in our hearts and in America, mm-hmm. the enemy comes in like a flood. And, you know, and so many people try to relate things. They go, well, you know, this person's not part of that group, or this person's not part of that group. And the church says this, and the church should know better, mm-hmm. because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness. It's the people who do evil, like this horrific evil mm-hmm. in Aurora, Colorado. It's they are connected by one thing. It doesn't matter whether they ever known each other personally here on earth. Second heaven, Satan, mm-hmm. you know, demonic things and spirits have got these guys captive, mm-hmm. and it is the same network.
Yeah,
whether they know each other, whether they're called Al-Qaeda, whether they're called Hezbollah, whether they're called just a gangster, whether they're called, you know, a wild person all by themselves doing something. Listen, there's one devil. Mm-hmm. He has powers, principalities, and spiritual wickedness that has basically, think about it, as his army of convincing people who choose not to follow God, who are held captive by him. Paul tells Timothy in his letter to him to do his will. Mm-hmm. And his will, Satan's will, is to kill and destroy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, to kill and destroy. He's a liar. He's the father of lies. And his plans are not good. That alone should tell us, this kind of pain that we're experiencing right now should tell all of us, the church, we need to stop this. And it's not going to be a political stopping. It's going to be a knee falling to the ground and humbling ourselves and say, Lord, you know, this evil that is coming upon our land and that's increasing. We're seeing a wave of it increase across the nation right now. And you know, just letting you know that it's going to be sporadic and it's going to happen all across the land and it's going to increase like birth pains. Mm-hmm. And it's really, you know, instead of just dumping us, you know, it's kind of like saying, you know, this is what happens if you turn your back on me. The enemy's going to come in. Mm-hmm. He's going to come in and he's going to bring harm to you. And I don't want harm to you. I want to forgive you. I want to restore you. I want to live with you forever in eternity. I want to forgive your sins and bring you in upon your death. And we're all appointed to die. Mm-hmm. And it's inevitable for all of us. And we don't know when or how possibly. But the question is, what are we going to do with the life that we have? I think about the young girl at Columbine when the shooter was coming in there, the young shooter who'd played all those games over and over again, you know, virtual games of shooting. And he walked in there and he was shooting the students. It was horrific. But then he walks in the lunchroom or the library, I can't remember what it was, and he points the gun in her face and he says, "Do you know Jesus?"
Hmm. Right.
And she said, "Yes." And then he shot her. It's time for the church. I mean, that testimony of her, mm-hmm. you know, we got to stand up for God. If this young girl in this school with a gun in her face cannot deny Jesus Christ. If this pastor, Yusuf, that's in prison in Iran, realizes his life weighs in the balance, and if he doesn't deny Christ, and he doesn't, you know, we in America have to rise up. Listen, it's amazing what we won't let go of just to follow God. You know, following God is not a chess game. You know, it's not a chess game. It's you know, it's not let me see what move I'm going to make, or, you know, it's literally God telling us what move to make, and we just make the move. We just make the move. And quite often, you know, it means laying down our life for somebody, you know. And as a law enforcement officer and other situations like that, that, you know, we call those people heroes. You know what I'm saying? It's time for the church to be a hero and fall to our knees and begin to say, I've sinned. You know, I've fallen short, and I need to turn. I'm turning back to your ways, and I'm going to find other people who are walking with you. I don't care where I'm at or what's going on. If the crew that I'm with does not acknowledge you in your ways, and I've talked to them about it, and they're not going to, I ain't hanging here because I want to be right towards God, and I care enough about the people of this nation and the people of Aurora, Colorado, that that would never happen again, and that we could cry out to God. God's totally in control. He can stop this. But he looks for somebody to stand in the gap, somebody that would lay down their life for the cause, you know. And as Christians, we win because it doesn't matter where somebody takes our life. We were to be absent from our bodies to be present with the Lord. But to know that somebody probably died this morning who didn't know Jesus Christ, and yet we were actually riding around in our boats, or Christians were trying to make more money, or we just couldn't obey God, or whatever excuse that we gave, because 95% wouldn't have told, according to George Barna, would have told these 12 people that died about the Lord. I don't know whether they know him or not, but the fact is they instantly left their bodies and went to the judgment seat of Christ.
That's right.
Instantly. And that's tragic because we don't know. I mean, we're not there. I mean, we'll hear, get a report from our church in Colorado, VF in Colorado, but understanding this, that knowing that every day people are dying, maybe 150,000 a day are dying, and they're it's a choice. They're going to heaven,
right,
or they're going to hell. And we can do something about it. We can tell them the good news. We don't know what they're going to do, but we can at least tell them. Tell them about God. And like I said, it's just not a chess game. It's not about, let me see what I want to do. It's we hear what God says, and he says, make this move. And we make it, even if it means laying down our peace, laying down our life, so that someone else can win. Because greater love hath no man than he laid down his life for his friend. We'll be right back in a moment. It is so neat how Steve Hill and Peter Wagner are just hearing the same thing that we're hearing. We've been preparing so long for this day. We had so much foundation to lay. We had so many lessons to learn. It took, you know, God specifically said it would take us 3 years to learn what he's going to teach us that he'll use for the next 30 years. And here we are just this week. Peter Wagner and Steve Hill are talking very specifically what seems radical, but it only seems radical because it's not being done that much. But once you're doing, it's not radical anymore. Once you break the mindset, I'm talking about transforming nations, how a rapid church planting movement can begin to change the world. Think about it. You know, we go out and we win the lost. Those that believe, we baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then we teach them, we disciple them in the teachings of Jesus, and then we launch them while they're still being related to do the very same thing. Love God, love others, and lead others. It's radical. But listen, Steve Hill just talks about how radical it is with Peter. Listen up, I'll be right back.
But you're talking radical stuff.
I know. Okay? Yeah, what I'm saying is...
That's what bugs me, okay? Because how do I, okay? I'm an evangelist pastor, okay? You're everything, okay? And you get out there and you try to get that into somebody's heart, okay, is a whole nother ballgame.
Yeah, but it can. People can understand and listen and be born again and filled with the Spirit and move out and do that.
Well, you know I believe that, okay?
Yeah.
You know I believe that because we, you know, we have fruit. There's fruit that follows. But the message today, okay, in America is needful. Okay, we're right now in a political year, okay, and every year is a political year, but I look at politicians and they get up and the one who has the the fiercest voice, the one who has the most powerful message, the one who has this just undying passion, this unction, is the one that seems to slide into, you know,
the
voters' hearts. Mm-hmm. And so I'm looking at Christianity, and I'm going, okay, the one who is passionate, the one who is able to, at work, open their mouths and talk about the things of Christ rather than the things of just the Bible or the just sections or portions of the Scripture, the whole gospel. That's a concern of mine.
Absolutely, and based on the cross of Jesus Christ and the blood that He shed. And the salvation that He brought, that is what pastors need. And not just taking care of the sheep, but preaching the gospel that will move through their sheep to those who are not saved and touch them with the gospel and bring them in and continue that process. If we do that, we can see whole cities transformed.
And that's exactly how it was done from the beginning. And we get bogged down with our religion, our traditions, and our philosophies, you know, and we start wondering, why isn't what was happening anymore? We're just bogged down. Mm-hmm, right. Let's just go back and revisit the original intent of the church. Mm-hmm. It's time to, you know, I don't know where you are. If you are, begin to talk about, read the Word of God, read the whole Word like Steve's talking about, as he's talking to Peter Wagner here, Steve Hill, and just say, you know, I'm ready to do the whole Word of God, and then encourage everybody there to do the same thing. If you're a pastor, you're a teacher, begin to teach the whole Word of God. Don't pull segments out and 3 points of this and 4 points of that. Just go in and dive into the red letters. Dive into the original ten of the church. And if not, if you're presently not related or connected to a fellowship somewhere, or you're just being called out, listen, VFN family might be for you. Mm-hmm. Maybe inside of you, you can be that radical person. Everybody's looking for a political leader to be able to lead a country or to lead a state or lead a county. But let me tell you something. God's looking for somebody who will lead His people. He said He would raise up shepherds for His people. Maybe that's you. Mm-hmm. Maybe you are that voice. Where are the leaders in our generation? Look in the mirror and see that personal leader might be you. Find out more at vfnfamily.org. VFNfamily.org, where we're walking out the original ten, just like Peter Wagner just said. VFNfamily.org. Pat, there is so much more. Yeah. You know, we have so many things that are out there for all of our listeners and all of our viewers in VFN radio and VFN TV, but we even have more available for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and what it is you're able to, when you subscribe for free, mm-hmm. you go to vfntv.com, right? vfntv.com, and just click on subscribe, follow a few simple steps, mm-hmm. and you're able to log in to some information and teachings and discussions and things. It's just everything. Everything's available to you as a subscriber. It's just simple to do. Just go to vfntv.com, click on subscribe, follow the simple steps, and you will have access to everything available that's here today and all that's even coming tomorrow. We look forward to seeing you as a subscriber. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
We were just talking about, you know, what's happened in Aurora, Colorado, which is horrific. But I did get a report in from Pastor Sharon there that tonight, they're going to have a prayer vigil tonight at the municipal building at 7 p.m. For all of our listeners in Colorado, in Aurora, that there's going to be a prayer vigil tonight at the municipal building at 7 p.m., obviously Mountain Time. And, of course, Pastor Sharon will be there, and our listeners for NVFN Colorado, we just want to encourage you to get together and just pray and ask God, you know, to stop. That's what we did. We had 30 murders in 1 year in our city, and at the city of Escambia, or Pensacola, or Escambia County, as a county, mm-hmm. and 30 murders, and from the northern parts of the county all the way down to the southern parts, and we went to every single place where there was bloodshed, where men's blood came out and hit the ground,
right.
And we prayed, and we asked God, Lord, forgive us for this murder, Mm-hmm. You know, forgive us for the sin of murder. And we ask for justice. We said, Lord, that you would bring justice to these who've lost their lives. And then we ask the Lord to remove this stain from our, this murdering spirit, murdering spirit from our city.
Right.
And instantly, you know, people that, cases they hadn't cleared yet, they started finding them and arresting them, and God began to God moved.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, men try to take credit for that, but the reality is that we had many of us believers who went out, you know, across all the different expressions in that city and in the church and just asked God, you know, and it was just so encouraging to see, you know, people with compassion that they cared about the murders that took place. And then we interviewed people who lived around those areas. They were heartbroken over that. And they would come out and they would talk to us, and we were able to minister to those people who were there, and they witnessed that take place. And so I want to encourage the church in Aurora to be able to get out and be amongst the people and minister to them and encourage them and just ask God to stop, you know, a spirit of murder,
right,
you know, over the city of lights. Well, we're gonna look at the top five. We look at the top five every day on the VFN TV blog. And the top five this morning, the top five stories on the VFN TV blog, you get to it at VFNTV.com, of course, is, again, it looks like that, you know, with over 9,000, you know, viewers coming in and viewing, you know, what we're doing and hearing, listening, a combination of all the things for VFN TV and the daily radio program, that your concern is you know, we're hearing with you, obviously, because you're coming in, you're wanting to know about Islam, what's happening, and explain the Muslim Brotherhood, and how do I personally transform my life? Because the top one, again, has to do with Islam, transformation through migration and immigration. You got to see that. You'll see the number one today on the top five is how just through migration and immigration. That's why you're seeing right now, you know, many leaders just not pay attention to immigration, because there is a motive, and we'll talk about that motive today on VFN Radio, that they want the infiltration of what they believe is right. They want to see migration. They want to see immigration, however they come over the borders, because eventually they want to push America to a place of democracy, because we're not a democracy. We're a republic. There's a big difference.
Right.
A democracy is one man, one vote, and all of a sudden you just got to convince 51 people in a group of 100 to be able to buy into the wrong direction like Hitler did.
Right.
And next thing you know, you have a communism or Marxism or, you know, that type of situation, or socialism, which is where the government becomes God in the minds of men. And so here we are. I mean, you got to see this. The birth rate, it talks about the birth rate and how Europe is going to be turning into a just through because their birth rate's not where it needs to be. The Europeans' birth rate's not going to be where it needs to be. Through migration, Islam is bringing many Muslims into the European nations, and they're having their children.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're doing what we're supposed to do in regards to having families and raising them and that type of thing. And therefore they're just through that being alone in a matter of time. So it's like maybe 20 years or seeing it will be an Islamic nation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we're a republic now. Most people, I've just watched congressman on the television news the other day, and he's talking about the health care bill and stuff. And he says, well, it's not fully formed yet and we could change it. And that's what democracy is all about. And I'm like, you know, Jiminy crickets. You know, even our congressmen don't even know it's a republic, even though they hold their hands over their heart.
Mm-hmm.
And they say, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands. They still call it a democracy. It's like, oh, my goodness.
I know.
You know, what's going on? And so that's the number one. Number two is racism in the traditional church, talking about, you know, Derek's interview and what happened to him, that one of his 5-year fellow pew mates who was sitting on the pew next to him, and he's an African American and she's white, called the police on him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and says, there's a black man looking in our car windows in our parking lot. It's your brother, ma'am.
Right.
It's your brother. And you got to hear about this, because a lot of people are having this experience. And the thing about it is, It just proves that that kind of expression that we ended up in is not working, because mm-hmm. Jesus said, if you don't love your brother, you don't love me. But the whole thing is, how can I know if I love you if I'm not even spending enough time to know you?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I just assume I love them. It's like, I wonder if that gets you in or not.
Right.
You know, what if you're considered a liar or not? Because right. I'm assuming I do.
Because
mm-hmm. you really find out if you love somebody when you spend some time with them, right?
Exactly.
It's like, oh my goodness. And you find out what parts of you haven't died when you see what parts of them hadn't died.
Instantly.
It's like the guy that gets married, you know, and he calls me up and he says, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, we're sticking out these camping trip signs, you know, for the prophecy that we're doing. And
mm-hmm.
and I told him beforehand, you know, you need to go through marriage counseling. And oh no, man, we got it. And he's married like 2 days. 2 days, right? And he calls me up and he says, she's following me. I'm like, who? It's my wife. I said, you're married. That's your wife. And he goes, Am I still, it's only been 2 days. You're married. You know, give it a week. You know what I'm saying? Give it a week. And it was just, you know, he found out what parts of him, you know, that he had this whole mindset of who he was in God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even he was a singer. He sang and everybody loved his gift. And, but he found out who he was when he married somebody who he thought was,
mm-hmm.
you know what I'm saying? And so, and in that, you know, you don't know if you love Jesus till you get close to people. And that's when you see people that are like looking at their watch when you're talking to them, or they're buzzing past you or something like that. You know, you got to ask the question, is it really their fault or is it your fault? Because you continue to say this is family when it's not.
Mm-hmm.
You sit here and say that they love you and they don't even know you. And you're projecting these things on people. But the reality is every day you're faced with the consequences of not taking the time yourself to get related and to introduce yourself and to spend time with people. And so just, you know, you get to know them. They might call the police on you. You look at them in the square in their face. I'm your brother. You know, we're together. We're family. So that's number two on there. Number three is where to start the transformation. Praise God, that's still up there. There is hope right where you are. You can begin a personal transformation. You know, just go there and find out where the personal transformation starts with you personally, then with a few others. The next thing you know, your entire gathering, wherever you gather at, you could be the one person who begins to stand in the gap for them, and everybody begins to hear from God. And the fourth one is an explanation of America and Islam. It's you know, in the context of, you know, what are the two, and to kind of explain this more of the same genre, but it's like Muslim Brotherhood 101. It's a whiteboard chalk drawing, basically, but it's not chalk, it's the white markers. That just explains it to you.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to see this, because you need to understand that, you know, we were during a seven-year fast.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm in heaven now talking to you. We're doing a seven-day fast, 7 years. Can you imagine? I'm just feeling like we need to have a seven-year fast. Okay, well, I'll see you in heaven 7 years.
Let me know how it goes.
And a seven-day fast in the beginning of this year. And the Lord laid on our hearts as the full body where we're, you know, we're throughout the United States and out of the States. And we just wanted to seek God, you know, humble ourselves. You know, we knew what was happening this year, what God's been showing us is going to happen. And we just thought, you know, we need God and we need to hear him. And during that time, one of our leaders had a dream. And in the dream, they were shown our President Barack Hussein Obama, in the basement of the White House, signing a contract or a covenant with the Muslim Brotherhood.
Mm-hmm.
There's some sort of agreement, you know, that he's made with the Muslim Brotherhood. You know, the thing about it is that if you see Islam as a good thing, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You don't see that as a negative thing. But today we're gonna talk to you about the difference. We're gonna talk. Congressman Michelle Bachmann. We have an interview with her where she just said that you know, the government of America has been infiltrated by the Muslim Brotherhood and by CAIR, CAIR. We're gonna talk about that as well. How CAIR is using the United Nations to be able to infiltrate. Muslim Brotherhood is using CAIR to be able to go through the United Nations to be able to come into our country to do the things that they want to do. And then we're gonna compare their book, their prophet's book, Muhammad's book, the Quran, with the Holy Bible. you're going to be blown away. It's the opposite. It's the complete opposite of the Bible. I mean, if the Bible says up, the Quran says down. And it does. The Bible says there will be a mark of the beast, and this is bad. Then the Quran says their Savior will come out of the ground and put a mark on you, and this is a good thing. It lets you, you know, it's like they fall into the whole antithesis of the gospel. And we're going to make it available to you on the VFN TV blog, so you're going to be able to look at both of them yourself. You're going to look at the Quran, the page in the Quran, and then you're going to look at a page in the Bible, and you're going to be able to be informed, and we need you to be informed. We're going to need the church to rise up. You know, this is why we're doing what we're doing, to encourage you that you're not alone. And as we're seeing our top views on the VFN TV blog, you're hearing us. You're hearing us. You're understanding. But we can't just you know, go half-heartedly at this. We have to understand. God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. And buying into Islam as an acceptable, true Islam, not backslidden or moderate Muslims. I'm talking about people who actually read the Quran and believe the Quran and are loyal to Muhammad. I'm not talking about, you know, it reminds me of John Stenberger. You know, he's an attorney, and he's the one responsible for getting the marriage amendment on the Constitution in Florida. And he was talking about, one of his friends said that this is how America will work. It'll work with this way. If we will focus more on the moderate Muslim, the moderate one. And if we focus on that, then, you know, America will work. And I said, well, you mean you're talking about a Muslim who is not loyal to the Quran? And he goes, well, yeah, they don't know what it was. So you're saying a backslidden Muslim is the hope for America. And I said, the very reality of preaching Jesus, because, you know, you can preach whatever God you want to. With us as Christians, we're just going like, okay, that's not God, but I'm going to preach Jesus, and we'll just see, like Elijah said, who's God's God, and you choose. But Islam's not that way. And so therefore, preaching Jesus as the Son of God, who he is, totally is offensive and to Islam, and they consider that an attack. And they respond, as you're seeing, the way they respond. And it's like, hey, wait a minute. If we're letting you preach your God in America, but you're not, you know, we can't preach ours. And so I said to John, I said, so you're saying then the hope for America is a backslidden Christian too, because one who doesn't know the Word of God, who doesn't preach the Word of God, doesn't know that they have to be loyal to Jesus and him only. You know, and he's like, you know, he kind of shakes his head like, I never thought, he kind of paused and thought. And so in our conversation, you know, was the hope for America, and this is what his friend was telling him, is summarized by a backslidden Muslim and a backslidden Christian. Is that crazy?
Wow.
And the thing is, you know, before you sell God out, you know, for your loyalties to anything over God, including a nation, you need to check yourself, you know, because God gave us the nation because of the church. The church didn't give, it didn't come the other way around.
Right.
So Christians came and sought a place to worship God freely. And long story short, as you see, is the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, that God gave us a country. And the First Amendment said, don't mess with our God and how we worship him. Government, you can't have any influence in that. And God has blessed America to be, you know, one of the most blessed nations outside of Israel on the face of the earth, you know, it's ever been.
Right.
And, but now we're faced with a choice. You know, do we really believe that God blessed this nation and he's the one that gave us the wisdom and the knowledge and the favor and the protection? Or do we think we did it on our own strength? If we keep removing his name from everything, if we think we got to bow down to other gods, if we got to backslide on Jesus to be able to have an upslidden country, it's like, do you really want to do that in the long run? Do you think that, you know, he says very specifically that he tells a nation it'll be blessed and it'll arise, but if it does evil in his sight, he'll take it down. He'll remove that which he wanted. And so he's the one that raises nations and drops them down. And nations come and nations go. And so understanding that, here we are, we need to understand Islam, because it looks like part of the end time move. And what's happening is, because it talks about, when you look at the comparison, I know we're kind of jumping ahead here, but, you know, it's about removing the head just below the head, cutting your neck off, cutting your head off just below the head. I mean, it says it in the Quran, right? You know, and it says that martyrs are beheaded, and it's like, come on, you know, come on, church, really. I mean, come on, we need to wake up. And it's like, if your freedom takes away my freedom to worship, if your freedom breaks my leg or robs from me, that's not freedom. That's, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you are influencing on stopping our freedom from doing that and preaching Jesus freely. And so many Christians, you know, it's like, come on, quit being so scared and intimidated. And understand, when you hear words come out of people's mouths, that's spirits. He says, the words I speak to you, the flesh counts for nothing, but the words I speak to you are spirit. Mm. When you hear, you know, people in authority threaten you, when you hear people that are religious leaders and they're saying things that intimidate you and try to oppress you and try to hold you back, that's second heaven. That's a spirit. They're held captive and they're being used, like Peter was being used that time when he said to Jesus, hey, don't go to Jerusalem, because he says, you almost tempted me. He says, get behind me, Satan. Mm-hmm. Not Peter. Right. You almost tempted me not to do the Father's will. And so we have to understand that the spirit across the land right now is fear and intimidation, but God does not give us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. Power, love, and a sound mind. And knowing this, that if we're not moving in that spirit, then that means then we need to repent and say, you know what? God, forgive me for that, for not being bold. And so with that, it's just time. It's time to rise up. It's time to be bold. You know, when the disciples were backed in the corner, they didn't say, oh, you know, rescue us. They said, Lord, give us a spirit of boldness, Holy Spirit boldness. And it's time for the church to be bold. It's time for the church to be bold. Well, the fifth on the top five is Drew Brees, where he gets $100 million contract. Mm. $100 million contract. Isn't that amazing?
Amazing.
And he gets $60 million, right?
Guaranteed.
Right up front, or?
Well, over 2 years.
Over 2 years. Oh, it's like $30 million a year?
Well, he'll get the first 40 this year, and then the other 20 next year.
Wow.
I guess, and then 20 thereafter.
I guess that means he doesn't have like payments on his car, huh?
Yeah. Probably not.
Or in his house. He don't have a mortgage payment, huh?
I wouldn't think so.
Oh, my goodness.
If he's smart.
Yeah, if he's smart, I doubt very seriously that he does. We'll be right back. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching, we're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is. And it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my Father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. It is so neat how Steve Hill and Peter Wagner are just hearing the same thing that we're hearing. We've been preparing so long for this day. We had so much foundation to lay. We had so many lessons to learn. It took, you know, God specifically said it would take us 3 years to learn what he's going to teach us that he'll use for the next 30 years. And here we are just this week. Mm-hmm. Peter Wagner and Steve Hill are talking very specifically what seems radical. But it only seems radical because it's not being done that much. Mm-hmm. But once you're doing, it's not radical anymore. Once you break the mindset. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. And with me in the studios is Pat Hamilton. Yeah, we're just talking about the top five out there. And we started kind of giving a heads up on, you know, what we're going to be talking about. But I do want to talk about now, you know, our wisdom moment. We want to get wisdom above all the things, you know, we need to get wisdom. Because you think about it, you know, we can do things in our life that it's just not wise. It's just not wise to do. Or the timing of it is not wise. And you think about, you know, there's just so many things, you know. When you think about, you know, if you're sitting here and you're playing a game that's a virtual game, in that virtual game, you're doing things in that game that you're not supposed to do in life, but you rehearse it in your mind over and over again. And mm-hmm. if you're a Christian and you're in the Word of God, you know that God's designed us to be able to begin to see that as real, mm-hmm. and then we begin to react to it as real. And then next thing you know, we're doing the very thing that we saw that we practice in our imagination.
That's right.
That's why he says, casting down our imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Wisdom says you cannot sit there all day long and play a game that's violating one of the Ten Commandments and shooting people.
Right.
And think that in a society and don't think at some point in time that they're not going to begin to manifest that.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, it's just like, hello, I'm a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, the world's one thing, but the church. And so knowing that, you know, wisdom says things like that's what wisdom says.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today's wisdom moment is from Proverbs 20:14 reads, it's not, this is what somebody's talking about. It says, it's not good. It's not good, says the buyer. Then off he goes boasting about his purchase. It's Proverbs 20:14. It reads, it's not good. It's not good, says the buyer. Then off he goes and boasts about the purchase. Well, first of all, I want to say, I am terrible. I am the worst at bargaining. Yeah, you know, right?
I do know this.
I am like, you know, I tend to just give everything away, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you know, in the long run, I believe that's good, you know, but...
Right.
But I have other people that are better at, you know, seeing, you know, whatever. And so, but I'm just terrible. I remember, you know, that Jared, my son, and I were going years ago to get a lawnmower for him and probably for the family or something. And they wanted a particular price for the lawnmower, you know, and so I took half the money and put it in one pocket. I took the half the money and put it in the other. And of course, Jared, he's knowing, you know. And so, and the ad that says something like, we have two lawnmowers, we want to sell the other lawnmower, whatever. And so we went all the way over to this particular person's house, and it happened to be a lady. And immediately she says, well, the reason why I have two lawnmowers, you know, is that, you know, my father passed away, and this was his lawnmower, and I don't need it. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. I'm like emptying out of my pockets, and Jared's looking at me like, oh my goodness. You know what I'm saying? I'm just not good at that kind of stuff. And, you know, and this is not about bargaining. You know, what this proverb is not about, you know, offering somebody a price. You know, they don't have to offer you the product. But if all you want to do is offer $5 for something they wanted $10 for, you know, that's not what this is talking about. What this is talking about, you know, it's worth $10. And you start belittling it, and you start talking down about it, and you know, and you tell them it's not worth anything. You know, think about. You know, I saw a program on television. Some of these guys that do a pawn shop or something, and I watched them. Everybody that came into their pawn shop, the first thing they did was violate this proverb. It didn't matter what it was. The first thing they said, "Ah, things worth nothing." Mm-hmm. And they would get them down on the price, and then they would buy it, and then the person would leave. They go, look at the deal we got.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, dude, that's not what you should be doing. You know, you just have a fair deal. You have a fair deal. I remember, you know, when you think about the deal, remember the time that you were looking for a work truck to be able to have for your company and all that?
Yeah.
And we had, and this is years ago,
yeah.
And with your plastics company. And in that, you know, there was a Christian that had a truck for sale.
Mm-hmm.
And well, that's pretty good, you know. I think I may have even told you, hey, this particular, you know.
Yeah, like you told me about it.
Has a a truck for sale, you know. And so you take the truck. I don't know if I was with you or not, but I was with you in the.
You were with me.
Oh, yeah, because I remember we were there.
Test drive.
Yeah, we took. And so, I mean, as soon as we saw it, we pretty much knew that it probably wasn't going to be a deal going down here. But to save face of the person who would even offer that to a brother
mm-hmm.
in the Lord,
mm-hmm.
you know, God's watching. You understand? God is watching these things take place. And so we're driving. I guess you're driving it down
yeah.
to a store, a local convenience store or something. This thing was blowing so much smoke. By the time we got to the convenience store, it was blowing so much smoke in the parking lot. Not only could you probably not see much of the parking lot, the store was starting to disappear.
All right.
And the conversation we were having was not, do we want the truck?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, how do you tell this brother, you know, look what you just did,
mm-hmm.
you know, and to save his face
right.
so that he would not, you know, it was just not right.
Yeah.
And it happens every single day. You know, and we're not supposed to be up front. Just say, hey, I got $20. I'll give you $20 for it. They say, I want $30. You can either go up to $30 or you can say, keep it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we don't ridicule things. We don't put it down. And you'll find somebody who does that they go out and they talk somebody down on the price and tell them, oh, that's bad. They degrade it. They put it down. They put down a car or a home or an item or something like that. Lessening its value. And then by the time they get this particular thing, they call three people up on their telephone and say, dude, you won't believe the deal I just got.
Mm-hmm.
Why they left this man or woman in the dirt, you know, and took what was more valuable than that, but they didn't tell them that.
Mm-hmm.
And they talk about it with their friends and their new acquaintances for the next 10 years.
Right.
And you got to understand this. God sees our dealings.
Mm-hmm.
He says, I even see the furnishings of the widow in your home. He sees how we're doing business. He sees those that have political ambitions, that their motives are wrong and they're doing things for the wrong motives.
Right.
He sees. And so the thing about it is when we do these things, we should do them in the light of understanding we're going to do them right before God. Just be upfront. You'd be surprised. Sometimes, you know, if you tell people it's your bottom offer, you're not going to offer them anymore without belittling their car, which you're going to drive for the next 10 years and brag about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just, that's my bottom offer, and walk away from it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be totally upfront about it. You know, I remember in selling a particular car once, you know, you sell a car as is, because the car you're driving now, you don't even know what's going to happen next.
Right.
You know, as we talked about yesterday with John's car, here
yeah.
he was in Pennsylvania. And the transmission caught on fire, and you can see it on the VFN TV blog. It burnt the whole front of the car out.
Yeah, burnt,
you know,
to the ground.
Burnt to the ground, and praise God, they got out of the vehicle, and you can see that on the VFN TV blog. You just don't know what's going to happen, because they didn't know that was going to happen. So you can't tell people, you know, hey, this car is going to last you or whatever. You can just say, hey, you know, it is as is. You know, when I told her, this particular lady wanted to buy my car, I said, you know, it's totally yours. It's as is, you know, and if for whatever reason you don't want it, bring it back, and I'll give you the money back. And I just kept the money. I kept the money and not deposited it, I just kept it, because mm-hmm. if she wanted to bring it back, I just give her money back. And so she comes back, and she says a couple of days later or something, like we all do about purchases of cars, you know, you start thinking, I don't know if I want this or not, da, da, da. And I said, okay, fine. Well, here's your money back. And she would not take her money back. You know what I'm saying? And what you do when you do things that way,
mm-hmm.
she decided to keep the car.
Right.
I didn't hesitate, didn't say anything. Here's your money back. Then she felt good about the deal. I felt good about the deal. And God will feel good about a deal like that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. we're not trying to take a gain over our brother or our sister. You know, we're not trying to have so that somebody won't have. We're just doing business.
Mm-hmm.
And so the proverb for today is very, very important. Proverbs 20:14. This is what it says. It's no good. It's no good, says the buyer. Then off he goes, boasting about his purchase. Next time you see somebody boasting about the purchase, say, who did you buy it from? How do they feel about it?
Right.
If they feel good about it, that's a good deal.
Right.
If they aren't talking kind about you, that's not a good deal. Right?
That's right.
That's right. So we got the truck back, you know, and we're like the old mosquito trucks.
We almost didn't get it back. Remember, it stalled?
It's like, right.
You just turn the steering wheel a certain way and the thing would just die. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah, it did. It definitely stalled. And as a matter of fact, you even had to call the seller and say,
tell him to come get it.
Oh, wow.
Remember?
I don't remember that part, but I remember it stalling when you turned the steering wheel up there.
Yeah.
And the whole thing was, it was just embarrassing. And think about how God feels about that when we do business like that. You know, this is years ago, and this probably wouldn't happen with this particular person today. But we got to stop that. It's not okay for us to gain when our brother is taken advantage of. You know, we want to leave well. I like how Abraham did with Lot. Mm-hmm. They realized that they needed to split up, and he let Lot pick what he wanted, what land he wanted. And he said, you know, whatever you want, you go to the right, I'll go to the left. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. And Lot, his nephew, looked and he saw what he liked to the right. And so he went to the right, and Abraham went to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Who chose for Abraham? Well, Lot actually chose for Abraham.
All right.
Or Abraham chose to do it right and let God decide where the lots were going to fall.
That's right.
And, you know, and so with that, you know, Lot, you
That's
know.
Interesting.
Yeah. Chose the wrong lot.
That's right.
And the lots were cast. Mm-hmm. And it looks like the Lord determined, because what he said to Abraham, now look, as far as you can see, I will give you all this land. Mm-hmm. And that's the land they're fighting and arguing over today. Why?
Right.
Because Abraham did business right. Isn't that something?
That's amazing.
He did business right. Wow. And today they're fighting over the piece of land that God gave them at that one moment.
Mm-hmm.
That's so cool. That should encourage you to say, you know what? I'm just going to do it right. I'm not going to take advantage of people. I'm going to be upfront about my business practices, you know? And that's what we actually have people that even look at all of our stuff, and we always want to know, you know, help us do it even better.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want. You want, if you have a business, you should be able to bring in people outside of you to look over your business practices to see if there's ways you can improve, ways you can give a better service or a product to your customers. Are you pricing your product right? You know, there's different things, because God will bless you when you check out the measurements on your scales and the way that you're handling things. And instead of trying to make all your money on one customer, you know, you can actually make it over a period of time, trusting the Lord. Think about it. Trusting the Lord. We'll be right back in a moment. So your representatives that you send to Congress, they will actually make the laws. I don't know if you've seen the little cartoon. We were in Washington, D.C. I just had to sit on the front steps of Congress. And I don't know if you remember the little cartoon years ago, but he go, I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. But someday. You know, that's,
yeah.
I'm not sure. It sounds terrible.
I had a nice voice.
Did it? Oh, my goodness. Wow. Nothing like technology.
You do that again?
I know. And I'm sure you can probably find it on YouTube somewhere. I remember. Do you remember the time that we were, you know, taking all these mentors and the fatherless and whatever out to the wilderness, and we were raising money. You remember that? I don't know if I have time to talk about this. I might not have time to talk about it. And one of us came up with an idea that said, you know, we need to have a raffle. We need to have a raffle. And, you know, we'll raffle off something that, you know, something that Americans might like,
yeah.
A TV.
Wasn't that John's idea?
Oh, that's right. That's right. It was John's. I'm sure it was John's. Mute his mic. It was John's.
Yeah.
And I said, but listen, if we're going to do this, John, I said, if we're going to do this, this is a raffle. It is not a lottery. You know, it is not a lottery. And I said, then I said over and over, this is not a lottery. This is, we're just going to, you know, a dollar for a ticket or whatever. You get a chance to win a big screen TV or something like that we had.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, here we were on TV. We were on TV, and I sat there, and they said, well, tell us what's going on. And I said, well,
We're having a lottery. I mean, God had me eat so much crow. A lottery. I said, we're having a lottery. That is so funny, you know, that, you know, you can, you know, it was just.
How many shades of color did you turn?
I was dumbfounded, you know, and obviously God was dealing with me about, you know, it's a shame that you have to go to a raffle to do what the church should have done all along. Remember that? Because we were paying for our entire community to come to God in the concept of going into the wilderness and responding to the prophetic word. But that was hilarious. I'm like, this is not a lottery. And here I was on TV. What did I say? We're doing a lottery.
Well, welcome back to VFN Radio and understanding that in our first part of our hour, we talked about what is happening in Aurora, Colorado. We want to remember to lift them up. I do want to say that, you know, Pastor Sharon has contacted me and said that they will be having a prayer vigil tonight at the municipal building at 7 p.m. Mountain Time, and they're planning on being there. So, you know, I want to make sure that you keep lift the families up and lift everybody up there. We've got so many forms of communication, so many things are coming in. We appreciate all the things that are being sent in from our listeners, and we want to be able to let everyone know what's happening at the time. Do know this, we're on a countdown. We're on a countdown that's going to determine the direction of this nation. The countdown, I believe, is not going to be determined on election day as much as it's going to be determined whether the elect, the body of Christ, mm-hmm. will fall to their knees and determine that God is the one that's going to take this nation and begin to move us in the right direction. You know, like I said, that it is not... Walking with God is not a chess game, and that's what a lot of American churches turned it into. You know, when God says something to us plainly in His Word, you can hear so many people say, "Well, you know, I was thinking," or "You know, let me see." And that's what you do in chess. Chess, mm-hmm. you kind of lean back and you kind of go, "Hmm, now I can make this move, or I can make that move." Mm-hmm. Now, if I do this, I might lose a man. I might lose something in my life. But if I make that move, you know, I could probably take two of his men.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and God's going, "What? What are you doing? This is not a chess game." You know, I said, "Get thee up and go, and I'll show you." I said, "Go into all the world and preach the kingdom to all mankind, those who believe, mm-hmm. baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teach them to obey my teachings, relate to them as they are me, because they're my body, love them. And encourage them, and go out into the world and teach people again and again to love God, love others, and lead others to do the same." This is what He's called us to do. It's not a chess game. We got to wake up. We've been so long in that kind of mode of the church in America has that people are really strategizing. Now, what's a church growth movement? A church growth movement starts when we humble ourselves,
right.
and we start relating to each other as family, and we gather together and eat together and love each other. And He says, then God adds to their number daily those that are being saved.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's not about your ability to manipulate or to advertise or come up with a new theory or theme or color or board or an artist comes in with their gift and you build the whole thing around a gift, and then you get upset because people run off with the very person who had the gift because, you know, you built it around that worship of that gift instead of around worship of Jesus. Listen, build it around Jesus. The gifts are meant to edify the body towards Jesus, not towards the gift.
That's right.
So I just want to encourage you, you know, this morning as we're coming to the end of the first hour, that, you know, it is not a chess game. Just relax. Follow God. He's got good plans in store for you, plans to bless you and to prosper you and to restore the years the locusts had devoured. You can trust God. He is trustworthy, but you got to let go and let God. I believe that if we hear from the Lord, then we can truly turn and a third great awakening can come to America. Well, God bless. Thank you for joining us in the first hour on VFN Radio. Don't forget, you can find out more at VFNTV.com. You can download our app in your App Store and your Apple App Store and your Android App Store. Just type in VFNTV. You can subscribe to VFNTV by just punching in the numbers VFNTV to the number 22828. God bless. For everybody's not going to be joining us in the extra hour, for those that are joining us in the extra hour, we'll see you and of you.